There is people who have very strong biblical opinions about politics. And like I said before, we're not involved in politics. Politicians are liars. They are men. They are liars. They fall short in every possible way. And every time they try to fix something, it just gets worse. But we are involved in government. And the government by the people, for the people, and of the people was established by God. That Constitution was co-authored by the Holy Spirit. It's the only one in existence that has lasted. You know, the average Constitution lasts 17 years. All designed to be permanent. This one is 200 and some odd years. It's the longest lasting one, and it's because God did it. The Revolutionary War, there was only 8% of the population of the colonies who actually fought against the British, and they still won. That was God. God had a vision and a dream for this country, and God changes not. So he's given us an opportunity and a red carpet to be involved in the type of government that you want. And don't let the media lie to you. I mean, this government's good. There are things that are out of control today, so far as man knows. But the more we pray, see, if we don't pray, nothing happens. But if we pray, we release God's hand to be able to work on our behalf. And it's not, and God is not so indiscriminate that he lumps the unrighteous and the righteous together. This is something that Abraham settled in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. When he said, I'm gonna destroy Sodom. And he said, well, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Will you not spare it if there's 50? And he said, I'll spare it. How about 40? How about 30? How about 10? Even if he got down to one, God would not have destroyed that, because he will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He would be working against himself. So he figured out a way to get Lot delivered from there, because Lot was among the righteous. It says his righteous soul was vexed with the manner of lifestyle of the Sodomites. God got him out of there. Praise God. His wife should have listened. Praise God. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus is good. Today, open with me to Genesis chapter 1. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, so let's believe God for ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand, and revelation to come to us so that we can rightly divide the word of God and apply it accurately to our life. So let's declare this together. You got that weekly confession up there? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And it says therein, for in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Faith is a growing thing. God deals to every man the measure of faith, the Bible says. But he didn't give Kenneth Copeland a big hunk of faith and you just a little tiny dab of it. No, he gave every man the same measure of faith. But the more you meditate on the word, the more your faith will grow. He said to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that your faith is growing exceedingly. So faith is a growing thing. It says that Abraham grew strong in faith. How? Because he didn't consider his own body, his own inability to fulfill God's promise. No, he relied on God. His eyes were on God. His faith was in God. He's love that. He says, you think you're going to make me rich forget it. Even if they did, how can you value something that anybody could get? But if God gives it to you, I'm telling you, it is eternal. Enough said? Enough said, because then it is the true riches that come from God. And he adds no sorrow with it. You can go and make a fortune in the world. What was that? You can make a fortune in the world who have amassed fortunes in this world, but their heart is as empty as a gun barrel. Really. So he adds no sorrow with it. So this word is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to you. I need to get into something today because I have a lot of ground to cover and I don't want to go over my time. Otherwise, I get the look. I get the look. I would rather get the wow. Amen. But we're going to talk today about the seed principle, the power and potential of seeds. We're going to talk about the power and potential of ground. What ground God has called you in to bless you so you can sow in and reap from him. The types of things. We call it the seed principle. You know what a principle is in the Bible? The principle is a law that is in operation, that God put into operation when he created the universe. There are natural laws that he put in force. Gravity. You ought to be thankful for that. He created gravity to bless you, to keep you seated in that chair so that you can hear this amazing message. But if you violate that law, it becomes a curse. Got quiet. But if you go ahead and violate that law, what God meant to bless turns into a curse for you. And it's not God's fault because you violated a law. You can't blame God for doing bad things to good people. Because I have violated those laws in ignorance. So have you. We've all done it. And we've all had bad things happen to us. Because of it, it gave inroads to the devil or whatever it was. It initiated something. There was a seed sown and a harvest came to roost. And what happened is we reaped a bad harvest. Yes. Amen. Can you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to know that I'm not the only one who's violated. Charles Capps wrote about a group of paramedics that were called to an accident. They pulled up the wagon and there was a light pole that came down. And one of the paramedics got too close to one of those wires, 20,000 volts, and he was dead. Did that in ignorance? Yeah. Did it matter? No, because laws are indiscriminate. They are working all the time. Laws of gravity, now you can supersede the law of gravity. With what?
Aerodynamics,
thrust and lift. You can suspend that law from operating. But what happens if you turn that engine off? The laws of gravity will kick in. Do you know there was a time ever since the beginning when God says, as long as the earth remains, in fact, let's go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And God said, that's Genesis 1. Yeah, Noah built an altar unto the Lord. This is after the flood, and he was grateful for God sending, helping him avoid the death and destruction of this world by giving him instructions for and he built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. neither will I again smite it anymore. For everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, what does it say? Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, when God speaks, it is not just a word. It is spiritual law. And he set this law in motion right here. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. And God said, let the earth... God what? God said. God spoke. Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. So we see seeds are an integral part of creation itself. God put that in motion here, and then when the flood came, he reinstituted it. Seeds that we sow are not just physical seeds. Jesus said that our words are seeds. The Apostle Paul said that our thoughts our seeds. Say this with me. Everything is the beginning of something. Everything is the beginning of something. A thought generates a lot of things. An emotion generates a lot of things. Your words generate things. They plant things. They cause things to come. You know, that mic, I'm going to have a discussion with this mic here. But here we are with these principles, with these laws, these spiritual laws. And this world is going out of whack. They don't even know which bathroom to go to. They think men can get pregnant. You see how ridiculous it is? I mean, this is dumb squared. And to the third power of that. And to infinity. I mean, it is just really out of... But it's comforting to me, without making all kinds of comments and getting all involved in this, that there is something that we can depend on. That God will fulfill his word. He watches over his word to perform it. That God is faithful and that we can depend on him because his word is true and is no lie. It is light, and the entrance of his word gives light, the Bible says. That's comforting to me because no matter how out of whack this world gets, I know where the blessing is and how to get it. I know where the life is and how to walk in it. I know where the love is and where my acceptance lies. That blood proved everything. That life that was surrendered for me, with all of my sin and with all the crud that was in my life, that he didn't care about all that stuff. He saw me. He saw the finished result. He sees the finished result with you too. And the only thing that could start to generate that is something new, the blood. That stands before you, stands before that throne right now in the mercy seat, always speaking, mercy, 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 mercy. God already accepted it. And so when you come to him for mercy, what is he going to do? If you ask him for a piece of bread, is he going to give you a snake? No. If you ask for mercy, he gives you mercy. It's bought and paid for. He has to honor that blood. That's why it's there. Regardless of how he feels about it, regardless of what he sees, regardless of all the faults and flaws in us, he sees that blood. I love that. You ought to be rejoicing in that too. unless you want to account for every moment of your life. No, let the blood do it. Just put your faith in that blood. It's a lot easier. It goes down simple in heaven. But while we live in a world that's out of whack, know this. Our It's on again? Our conversation is in heaven. That means our life and our walk, how we walk out, our manner of life, everything. That's in heaven. We have the more you talk about politics, the more you open yourself up to that news media, the more you open up to all of these things in the world and focus on those, you know what? Your faith is going to grow in those things and their ability, and you will give them power over you. But the more you focus on the Word of God, the more both of your eyes are on the Word, both of your ears are hearing the Word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. This just opened up. I think God's going to open something to us. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He said, my son, this means you women too, because we are all the sons or children of God. He said this, my son, attend to my words. He didn't say attend to the media, attend to the news programs, attend to the newspaper, attend to what everybody's saying. Now, should we be aware of what's going on? Yeah. You need to be aware of it. But you, as much as you are aware of the things that are going on in this world, you need to be aware of the fact that the Word of God is sent to you to work through you and to correct. If you're, thank you. If you're aware of what's going on in the world, you need to be more aware of the Word that's working in you, that He sent to you to work that Word. Because if you don't work that Word, and you're aware and more aware and more aware and more focused on what's going on in the world, then you will be, your speech will match theirs. And your words will be come into partnership with the accuser of the brethren. And you'll start accusing people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and God, and then the devil's just running down a victory lap around you. He said, attend unto my words, mine. Incline your word unto my sayings. Incline your ear unto my sayings. So he says, attend. That means pay attention. This is your mind. Let your ear incline to his saying. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you keep the word in the midst of your heart? Studying it, that's one way. What's the number one thing when you believe something, what do? You say it. You keep the word in the midst of your heart by continuing to speak the word. When a situation comes up that defies the word or that threatens you or something, what's the scripture that you're supposed to speak on that? If you get a sudden shortage or something takes you by surprise in your finances, what should be your confession? All of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. Shortage, shut up. Shut up. Shortage, shut up. Shortage, you may have a fact, but I have a truth. Amen. That overrides you. And in the name of Jesus, all of my needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My discussion is with you. This is over. This is done. And the more that you confess that, the more that you say that, you activate the ministry of angels and you get things going in the spirit to bring that blessing to you. But if you defy that law of confession and start agreeing with the problem, then the problem, that curse, will come up. You are a free moral agent. You can walk in the blessing of the curse. He left that up to you. My son, attend unto my words, incline an ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. They are seeds of life to those who find them. And they are health or medicine to all their flesh. You know, seeds grow up and become. I want to talk about the power and potential of seeds. I want to talk about the power and potential of the ground. I want to talk about the principle called the seed principle. I just thought of something humorous. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. You know, something amazing about this scripture, many of you have probably visited this before, had the Lord kind of wake this up inside of you. But when Jesus had been ministering all day long, he wrapped up his ministering by giving the parable of the sower. And he gave the short form. And then in verse 9, I think it is, verse 10, it says, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So when he was alone, they said, can you tell us that? This scripture is huge to me. Because when the tone of the world starts to subside and everything else. You know, you can go to Jesus and he'll open things up to you. He did it then, he'll do it now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll start to explain things to you. But he needs you to come to him. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12, this doesn't just include his disciples. They that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. I mean, he's opened the door. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You know, if you hear the word, your sins will be forgiven you. If you hear and believe the word, your sins will be forgiven you.
Amen.
Forgiveness of sin is not a big thing with God. He paid for it. He paid for the right to be able to forgive you legally and justly without compromising any of his own personal virtues. And then he said in verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside or the side of the road where the word was sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. I can tell you right now that as soon as you leave that door, you're going to get challenged. Yes. Thoughts are going to come to you on the way home. What are those thoughts? Well, it continues. I'll tell you why. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground. That's shallow soil. How many of you know that there are shallow Christians in this world? There are shallow people in this world. But let's get it closer to home. We need to deal with ourselves. And these are likewise which stone and stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a period of time. But afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? God showed me this. This is a couple of years back. God showed me one of the main tools of the devil is offense. And he uses persecution and affliction to get you there. And when you are offended and when you remain offended and you get into bitterness and unforgiveness and all these other things that start to multiply, you know what it is? It's the devil. Offense is of the devil, and he's coming and picking your locks. He is uprooting your seed with your own cooperation when you are offended. I'm telling you something. Put an end to that. Because you're coming into agreement with the devil against people. That's not what a Christian does. A Christian prays for the person. He prays for the people. He starts to sow seed for them in prayers and intercessions for them. Jesus said this, whoever sins, you retain or retain. Whoever sins, you remit or remitted. So you have no excuse for siding with the enemy against anyone. Well, I can see we're really enjoying this today, aren't we? I mean, we're really picking cotton here, right? Oh, boy. So what does it say here? Persecution. You know, there are preachers who were word of faith preachers who have been persecuted for their message, and they've turned against their own messages now concerning giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. I mean, from the first chapter of Genesis with seed, it has been a process and reinforced after the flood. Seed time and harvest has been before the law, during the law. There was only one time in all of history where the law of seed time and harvest was suspended temporarily. You know when that was? It was for the Jewish people when they were in the wilderness, when God took responsibility for them during that period of time, and they were fed supernaturally, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, they were always cared for, they were always provided for, there was a cloud by day that protected them from the sun, there was a pillar for light at night. They lacked for no good thing. They didn't sow for it. And in fact, the words that they spoke against God, and all of them were guilty. There was a few that paid for it severely because they incited a rebellion. But for the law of seed time was suspended temporarily during that time. It's like I said with the jet airplane. That jet plane, you turn that off, the law of gravity will kick in. But during the time when that's working, it will supersede the law of gravity. The law of lift will. Can I get some kind of an agreement there? So persecution and affliction, and these guys have suffered persecution. Our job is not to single them out and name them and come against them. No, our job is to pray for them. Amen. You know, one thing God never took away from the church is persecution. Without persecution, the gospel would not have spread. Say amen or oh me, it's true. Persecution, but God causes, he'll teach you how to rise above persecution. Just look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Yeah, the deepest, darkest prison, chained up and everything. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, devil, that you forgot to tape my mouth shut. Oh, yeah. And affliction, you know, affliction comes your way to steal the word out of your heart. Why? Because the word is the seed of God. Here, seed is all over the Bible. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And Galatians 3:29 says that you are the seed of Abraham and blessed according to the promise. The seed, the seed, the seed. This is the seed principle. It bears fruit after its own kind. When you're speaking the blessing of God, it starts to produce. The ground that you speak into, well, first of all, let me put it this way. The ground that he's talking about in this parable is the human heart. You are recreated. You are a new creation. And the ground of your heart is so pure and so productive and so ready and pregnant with ability to reproduce the seed that you sow into it with your confession. Did you know that you're already an overcomer? Amen. You were an overcomer before you were even born. I mean, millions and millions of sperm came along, and one little sperm got through the wall of that egg. It overcame all odds, millions and millions to one. And it conceived in that, and the life was created in that thing. Was that life was an overcomer. That life was a person who was overcoming. Can you see what a sin and what a horrible, murderous thing abortion is? How many would have been born who would have cured cancer or could have brought the church to a whole new level of revelation and understanding? How many of them were murdered? How many scholars were murdered to discover more laws of that were here? There are laws of nature. Pharmacopoeia of this earth is amazing. And we've only even scratched it. You know why? Greed. They want to produce chemicals and sell them for exorbitant amount. Greed. I'm not going to go into this, but I'll just say it as an example. Cancer could have been cured so many years ago. But they have created a multi-billion-dollar business out of it. Shame on them. Shame on them. My father, my mother. You know, people. These are people who were born, created for comers. All odds. And yet that is a natural birth. When you were born supernaturally by the power of God, when the Holy Spirit and the Word of God formed in you the life of Jesus himself, who overcame sin, death, hell, grave, everything, who never lost one argument, never down to one situation ever. And look, and he lives in you. There is no reason. Look, the seeds in you are growing up. Amen. They are maturing with all the promises, all of the blessings, all of the privileges to walk in. The Bible says, if we say we abide in him, we ought to also walk as he walked. That doesn't mean, oh, be nice to everybody. I got to be nice because... No. That's a counterfeit. That's a lie of the devil. Because did Jesus do that?
No.
Did Jesus say to the Pharisees, woe to you Pharisees who strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. Boy, he put it right, couldn't he? Oh. But you know, he can put you right too. A few really stiff conversations, if you'll just stay in his presence long enough to receive that. And to know that there's a tree of life on the other end of this. There's a tree of blessing on the other end of this. There's a promise on the other end of this. I'm going to go into this not for victory, but from victory. I decide now that I'm winning because I overcame in the womb.
Amen.
I overcame when I was born again against all odds.
Amen.
You were born into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah, you are something. Oh, God just wants to tie a little ribbon around you and say, winner, winner, victor. Yeah. I will get to my message sooner or later. Write this down. Every seed has life. Every seed has life. Seeds need ground to partner with. So put the word of God, the seed of the word of God down into your heart. Every seeds need ground, they need water. And it says this in Genesis, what was that? Genesis 1. Oh, that it needs light. Seeds need ground, they need water. And once they start, now here's the seed process. Jesus said in John chapter 12, I think it was verse 32, I'm not sure. But he said, unless a corn of wheat, a seed of wheat falls to the ground, it dies, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. Here's the seed principle. That the life that is in the seed is guarded by a shell. There's an inner and there's an inner part and an outer part. The life of the seed is in the seed. It says that in Genesis 1. When the seed is planted, what happens? The outer shell dies. The body of that shell dies. It's sown in corruption, and it comes forth in incorruption, like the resurrection and 1 Corinthians 15 says. But here, acorn produces an oak tree, right? But is that the end of the harvest?
No.
No, because it makes more acorns, and then a squirrel comes and buries it and forgets where he buried it, and then another oak tree comes. You know, we see those squirrels running around the yard. It's fun watching them, but they bury these things, and then they run away as if they're going to remember where that is. So we've got to come around with and chop down some potential oak trees. But is that the end of the harvest? Just all an earth filled with oak trees? No. Because part of that harvest might be a baseball bat. It might be a huge dining room table. Right, Phil? It might be beams for a new house for your mansion. It might be whatever. You use those things, and then you resow and replant and give stuff away. And so now you're giving out of a heart to give to people. Well,
stay with the spot. Don't move.
Told it.
You're good.
Nobody move, please.
Nobody move.
I'm going to need help. So, hey, John boy. Forget about it. But here's the thing. How do we convert that seed from the natural realm into the spiritual realm? Any guesses? Any guesses? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry I didn't put these in there, Barbara, but God's taken a whole new turn here. In verse 20, he said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Have you ever been to heaven? Have you seen heaven? How can you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. That means in the earth, thieves break in and steal, and moth and rust, and the corrosive forces of this world are after your money. They are after what they consider the riches. See, that's where their power ends, with riches. So they want to steal it. The devil is a thief. Who's inspiring all of that? The devil, because he wants to rule this world. He knows the power of this world is money, and he wants to get it all so he can control you, take your right of choice away from you, and make sure that you never have a chance to believe God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is where you focus your attention. This is what you meditate on. This is where you look. This is what you speak of. This is your meditation, is the kingdom of God. For the light of the body is the eye. Now, skip down here. He said, no man can serve, verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Like Clint Eastwood once said, mammon being money and all. Mammon is the riches of this world, the things that men value. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. What is he saying here? You can lay up treasures in heaven for yourself. What is that treasury that you lay up for yourselves? He is talking about a heavenly bank account. He is talking about a depository that you can lay treasures up in heaven and you can use them here on the earth. You can use heaven's multiplication system for that. How do you do that? Faith. Faith is not restricted. In fact, do you remember the people that the Roman centurion and the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus, they had no covenant with God. In fact, that Roman centurion, centurions, they were the ones who led crucifixion squads. They had no covenant with God. The Syrophoenician woman was a Gentile. She was a Greek. She had no covenant with God at all. And Jesus, at first, it looked like he was turning a deaf ear. But one thing Jesus knows how to do is get faith out of people and convert their need into a seed that he can take it and make a miracle for them. And he knew how to get faith out of her. And he says, it's not right to take the children's bread, which is healing and deliverance, and give it to dogs. And she said, arf, arf. He said, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He says, what great is your faith? Be it done unto you. See, this is what he's trying to work into her. With the Roman centurion, he had a revelation of authority. Jesus called that faith. He says, you know, I'm a man in authority and I am under authority. The only way this is going to work, that you're going to walk in authority, is to be under authority. Authority that you allow yourself, that you give God over your life, that you give his word over your life. The more authority that you give to the word of God and God's spirit over your life and his promptings, the more authority you will have and walk in. I wanted to do a whole different message today, but that's not coming out the way I thought it would. What I want to say is, look, in an unstable world, one thing we can count on is God, his word. His word is true. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is reliable. It'll build stability, and you can depend on the law of seed time and harvest. You can depend on the ground for reproducing more, that when you speak, you know, and look at the body of Christ. God has planted you in a certain place to bless you, to bring blessing to you, a place you can sow in and reap harvests from, a place that you can know for sure that God has called you into a certain work or a certain thing. I love what we're doing in this community with the other churches, with the Carpentersville Clergy Commission. Man, Lichka was there, Debbie was there Friday night when we just had a time of praise. And you know what? Again, that is a time of conception and birthing where we prayed over several things for this community, and God is going to do it. You know, we always look for instant prayer answers and for God to show up. No, sometimes it's a process of seed time and harvest. I know, Chris, you don't want to hear that when you're in pain or when you need something that is urgent. But again, cast your cares on him. Let him care for you. Amen. But keep on speaking the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. The Roman centurion said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. What happened? His servant was healed. Speak the word only to over that pastor who has erred from his ways. Speak the word only. Speak the word only for that business owner who's a tyrant, who runs his company in that autocratic way, like soldiers, instead of people who need a leader. Speak the blessing over him and watch God go to work. These are practical things. I wanted to get into a little more spiritual revy stuff. But look at, we still have a few more minutes here, right? In Mark chapter 4, go back there. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Every one of these people heard the word. But in verse 9, he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. You need to hear these words in your heart with purpose. Verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares that we carry around in our heart can choke the word of God in your life and choke it off from producing the blessing, the healing, the opportunities, all kinds of things. The cares of this life. Boy, that could be a whole message right there. Write down, when you go home, some of the things that are occupying your mind with care. You know, Dwight shared that message, 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Never say to anybody, take care. Remember, seed time and harvest. The deceitfulness of riches, that means, you know what that is? Thinking money will make you happy. That money will make things secure for you. I'm telling you something, as long as your money and your investments are in a world system, it's corruptible, it can disappear like that. But if you have sown into God, God knows the future. He is holding things in store for you and he is multiplying them for you. Amen. In a time of need. Deceitfulness of riches. Look, riches can't fulfill you. You are an eternal spirit. That's who you are. You are eternal. That's your nature. When you're born, even before you were born again, you still have an eternal spirit that would go to live in hell. But now that you're born again, you are eternal. You are an eternal spirit. And there is no natural source of riches that can ever fulfill a human spirit. It can't do it because it's temporary. It's based on what the world says, not what God says. Deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. Man, this is a library of different things. Lust. I mean, how many preachers have fallen in recent times for embezzling money? How many preachers have fallen for having affairs outside of marriage? How many preachers have failed because something went wrong and they reacted wrong and they lost their reputation or whatever? All of these things entering and choke the word. They ruin the testimony. They choke the word from operating in your life. And becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground. God has led us to good ground where we can sow. Ground is necessary. I think in the past, preachers have gotten imbalanced. They placed too much emphasis on the seed and not on the ground. Not on the soil of the human heart, not on the soil in which they sow into. And there, God will lead you to sow into certain things. Lori and I do. We sow as we have been led. But you know what? God can terminate that time and transfer it over into something else. So our obligation is to stay led. They are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and what? Take it. Receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I showed you that fold principle once, didn't I? I had a little piece of paper in here. But you fold a piece of paper once, that's two. That's twofold. Fold it a second time, it's four. A third time, it's eight. A fourth. Thank you, Sherry. You're a wonderful woman of God. Look at this. Okay, so here's the paper. One fold is twice. Two fold is four. Three fold is eight. Right? What was it, threefold? Yeah. Fourfold is 16. And you can do this, and I worked this out. I've got it on my phone somewhere. The 30-fold is like billions. Billions. Never underestimate the power of a seed. When it is sown in the earth, it will bring forth much fruit. Mega fruit. And it's a form of eternity too, because the thing is, that acorn produces an oak tree. That oak tree produces thousands and thousands every season of more seeds. And that tree and those trees produce more. It's a type of eternal regeneration with a life in itself. Did you know that when Adam was created, your DNA was in Adam?
Yes.
God created you.
Amen.
He created you in Adam.
That's right.
It's mind-blowing. And the type of person that Adam was, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine what nature, it says all nature took on death when Adam sinned. We cannot even imagine the type of person that Adam and Eve were. They were amazing reflections of everything that God is. In Luke chapter 3, it says Adam was the son of God. He reflected the glory of God. God's seed of life was in him. And when he took on death, that seed started to reproduce after its own kind, death, sin. And it propagated. And no good thing. No, say this, no good thing, ever comes from sin. No good thing. Ever. So fivefold is what? 32? Pretty amazing. We've got to get out of church and stop this church culture and start getting into a kingdom culture. And renew our mind to the kingdom culture, because the church culture is run by men, not the Word of God. It is personality driven and not word driven. And we need to get back and get word. Word driven, word orchestrated, word blessed, word propagated, word growing. Word, 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 word. Wasn't that a song? Never mind. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. If you're home on Thursday mornings at about 10 o'clock, you can hear that song all the time on, was it TBN or is that Daystar? Charles Capps. I think it's Daystar. But that's the theme song for that. The Word is working mightily in me. You know, we underestimate it so much.
Mm.
You know, Dwight said something before service started. He says, you know, if we just believed what God said, we'd have better life than we know what to do with. Praise God. Father, Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it will not return to you void. We thank you, Father, that it will reproduce after its own kind. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful to watch over the Word to perform it. And I pray, Father, that this Word, whatever was you, I just pray that it multiply in our hearts. Whatever was not of you, Lord, let it fall to the earth and die. Thank you, Lord, that it not even produce weeds. Lord, but the wonderful flowers of heaven and the wonders of heaven, Lord, let them blossom in our heart, even as it happened with the new birth, that we know the potential that you have given us, and we thank you for it. Thanks in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, come up. Our altar ministers will agree with you in prayer. Again, if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So avail yourself of that. Agree with them and agree with the Word of God. It will come to pass. Amen.